Hello, and welcome to an episode of Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And it's eclipse day.
It is. Not twilight eclipse.
No.
The solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse.
Yes.
Yes.
It only was for like a short period of time, though. It's not all day.
No, I mean, it was from like 10 a.m. to 12:30.
Okay.
And because it slowly happens and then it slowly goes away.
So our dear, dear friend Kate said, do not go outside during the eclipse because it's known to give people like weird energy.
Oh, I was not paying attention when she said that.
Oh, okay. Well,
she didn't say that to me.
Maybe she just said it to me and I took that shit to heart. I stayed in.
I went out and looked at it.
Well,
I had little dumb little glasses and everything. And I was like, cool, that's a dot in the sky that's a little bit of a different shape than it normally is.
And now, bring on the weird energy.
I feel like the idea of eclipses are much more interesting to me than the actual event.
They are. I mean, I think they're cool. Like, it's a cool concept. But then it's like every single person posts a picture of a dot and you're just like,
I'm like, awesome. I love it. Thanks.
What is that doing for me?
I wish I had more dots on my timeline all the time. This is the best.
Like my whole entire Facebook page, Instagram stories. I'm like, I don't care.
Mine actually, surprisingly, not a lot.
I even got some text messages.
Oh, yeah, no.
Look at the eclipse. I if I wanted to see it, I would have walked outside.
I would have gotten the weird little glasses. Because you need the glasses.
I know.
Yeah.
But then when I did walk outside to come here, it was like 1:25 or whatever. So it should have been done.
It was. Just normal sun.
The sun was so bright.
It's still the sun.
Like no, but it was extra bright. Like I wasn't even looking at the sun. I was just in my car and my eyes started to water.
Yeah.
It was so bright.
I just feel like I think the idea of the eclipse is super cool because it's just totally random that our moon and our sun, like that the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun and they're 400 however far apart, so they perfectly line up. Like, that's crazy. There's no reason that they should do that. And actually, because the moon is slowly moving away from us, that won't always be the case, right? So, like, it's a very unique, cool, random thing. But it's pretty uneventful when you're experiencing it. I mean, probably it's more so if you're somewhere where it actually gets all the way dark. Like, yeah. I could see that being exciting.
Yeah.
But we are always in, like, the partial areas.
Yeah, so it just looks a little overcast for a second.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, it's the sun cosplaying as the moon.
Ooh.
It's like a little crescent cosplay, briefly.
But you know what is fun?
What?
If the rapture really happened today.
I wouldn't know. I realized today I don't know a single Christian.
I'm just saying, the moon covers the sun, and then all of a sudden, everyone disappears.
It'd be cool if anything happened.
Wild.
I was like, yeah, let's bring it on. Let's have something interesting happen. But nothing really happened.
I also heard these two gals talking on a podcast, and they said that it was a weird coincidence that the earthquake in New York was a 4.8 and the eclipse is on 4.8. I don't know what that means,
ooh,
but it sounds creepy.
Could mean anything. That's why you just make shit up. You're allowed to just say whatever you want on the internet. It's crazy.
I liked it, though.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
I'm a big fan of it, personally.
I was like, something's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I know. I was like, oh, maybe something fun will happen. Maybe we'll get another earthquake. Maybe there will be.
Not for me.
There's been lots of big earthquakes recently. There was that big one in Taiwan. Did you see that?
No.
I sent you the videos of it on Twitter.
I don't want to see videos. The only videos I genuinely want to see of the earthquake are of stupid people on TikTok that were trying to film them doing something else when the earthquake happens. And then
oh, yeah, I've seen some of those.
They like,
they're doing like an outfit of the day.
Yeah.
And then they're like, is my apartment building shaking?
Like, hilarious. Love that. But that's all I want to see. I don't want to see actual destruction.
Okay.
Because that upsets me.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, that's fair, as it should.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah.
I like the comedy, not the tragedy.
You can't have one without the other, baby.
Oh, I know.
That's life.
That's William Shakespeare.
That's
I feel like.
Life. Yeah. That was it. I mean, that's really all.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. I got a new tattoo this
you
week.
You did. Oh, can I see it in person?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, you are a little baby bruised underneath.
Oh, it's so much better than it was on Saturday. It was literally so bruised and swollen. My arm was like this big. It was huge.
It looks really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Alex Holiday on Instagram. He is very good. He's in Downey, California. So if you're in the area.
Your arm is really coming together.
Thank you. I know. I really like it. Honestly, I just let him do whatever he wants, and he hasn't led me astray yet.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
As long as he's not putting some weird, I don't know, girly pop things on your arm that wouldn't
Do you think fit. Anyone would ever try to do
know.
That to me?
I don't know.
Do you think anybody would ever look at my sleeve and go, you know what you need? Some really fine line black and gray.
I would.
Yeah, that's why you are not an artist I would trust to do my tattoos.
Please.
With peace and love.
I think I could do it.
I disagree. I would have to disagree.
I did see a really funny news article the other day.
Oh, what was it? Are you sure it was a real article?
I don't know.
Okay. What was the website?
It was the New York Post.
Okay, that's a real...
That's pretty real.
Yeah, give or take.
I think it is real.
They're like a tabloid.
Okay, well, when you hear it, you'll know it's real.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's... Okay, so I'm just going to read a little bit of it. A tender-hearted animal lover spent an entire night tending to what she thought was a sick baby hedgehog. This is in Australia, so there's hedgehogs running amok. Only to find out it was nothing more than a faux fur pom-pom from a hat.
Oh, she's on drugs.
No, it was just an old lady. It's so cute.
I mean, I don't understand.
It was an old lady.
Okay, yes, I understand. I understand the concept you're trying to tell me. I just don't understand how you would ever confuse a pom-pom for a living creature.
She said she saw it on the side of the road. She pulled over.
Yeah, wouldn't you pick it up and immediately realize it weighs 0.00 pounds?
So she didn't think that, and she had little water and food in the box, and then she brought it to the vet and was like, you need to take care of this hedgehog. It's dying. And then the vet took it back and was like, this doesn't weigh anything. This is really weird.
Yeah.
And then when the vet turned it over to start like
looking
seeing
at
if it.
It
was okay, realized it was just from a hat.
Yeah. And then she was like, I gotta get this in the news.
I liked it.
That's what I always think when I see, so I get those videos a lot of the time that are like hope core videos. It's like people doing nice stuff for each other, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes I'm watching them and I'm like, yeah, this is really sweet, but like, why is this on the news?
To give people joy.
Like, literally one that I saw the other day was this lady who had like a 7-year-old boy was at like one of those jump parks, mm-hmm. like the trampoline parks, and two older boys like hung out with him for like 30 minutes. And like, they were probably like 13 and they were like, this needs to be on the news. Why?
So they literally like, they were like, two young boys hang out with a little boy.
Literally. They were like made little Johnny's day when the two cool older boys hung out with him for half an hour at the jump park. And the mom's like, this changed the trajectory of my life. You know what I mean? I'm like, why is this on the news? Yeah, am I crying? Absolutely. But I am on my period, so that's on me. But why is this on the news?
I don't know.
Right?
Like,
who called it in? Who was like, we got to get KTLA on this?
I bet there was just a news reporter walking by, and they were like, oh my God. Look at those two teens playing with that little boy. That's so nice.
That's so nice. Normally, they would just beat the shit out of him.
And they were like, Mom.
And throw rocks at him.
They're like, little Timmy's mom, how do you feel? She's like, this is the nicest thing that's ever happened to me.
Normally,
in my life.
When I bring my weird freak son out into the public, he is bombarded with rotten tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Somebody threw a rock at his head.
But today
they hung out with him for at least 30 minutes.
That's so nice.
Wow. He's going to remember this for the rest of his life. And
he will remember being on the news.
And definitely not be embarrassed that that happened.
He will remember being on the news. This is like, well, it's not like actually at all. But what really should be reported more to this today, the viral video of the turtle boy.
Oh, and now he's in the commercials for the Ninja Turtle movie.
Oh my God, good for him.
Yeah, and we did one of those fake like man on the street things. Or, like, we're just leaving the Ninja Turtles, the new whatever, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Is he in the same costume?
Yes, but he's a grown man now. And they go up to him and they're like, hey, sir, what did you think about it? He was like, I like turtles. And I was like, he's still got it.
I love that.
He's still got it.
Wow. He's a star.
There's so many people who got famous so not, like, they should not have. Where was he? The voice of our generation. Why was he not the one? Why are we stuck with Bad Barbie or whatever that mean little girl from Dr. Phil is?
Oh, yeah.
But we haven't heard from Turtle Guy in 15 years?
Bad Baby? Bad...
I don't know.
Who knows? I miss the Apparently Kid, too. He was good.
Who's that?
You don't... Is it like that little redhead kid and he's being interviewed for some random reason and he keeps just going, and apparently...
Oh, I do like him, too.
And apparently...
That's a 65-year-old man trapped in a 7-year-old's body. It's crazy.
I want him to be out and about. I want him on my TV.
Here's the thing, though. Holly Weird would ruin him.
God damn it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Some things have to stay golden.
That's so true. Stay golden, yeah. Pony Boy.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are the voices of our generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so real.
Yeah.
Wow.
If any of you send this to that mean girl from Dr. Phil, I don't have it in me. She'll ruin my life.
I was going to say, she has a lot of money.
Yeah.
So she would.
Oh, does she? I just know she's really mean. I see her online all the time. She's being mean. And I don't think I would withstand.
She has a lot of money.
How does she have money?
She is the, I don't know if still to this day if she is, but for a short period of time at least, the top earning person on OnlyFans.
She's a child.
No, not anymore.
Isn't she only still like 18?
I think she's 20 now.
Oh, you guys all need to go to hell.
Jail.
Some people jail need to be all shot right now. But that's so upsetting.
You know what? Just beam them up. Rapture.
You know what? Yeah, you guys get raptured, but just straight down into hell. It's a reverse rapture. Uno reverse rapture for putting that little girl on the top of OnlyFans. You freakazoids.
I don't know if she still is, but I do know for a period of time she was.
Honestly, men need to start out in jail and then convince me to let them loose. I've been saying that for a long time. I know I'm not the first to say it and I'm not going to be the last, but you guys are scary.
Like, remember those... So you're born and you start out in jail. Yeah, and we need immediately to be jail. We need to be proven that you can come out.
And then
out.
There's like a council of me and like four other mean bitches you have to convince to be let out.
I like this.
Yeah. I've felt that deeply ever since I remember when I was in high school seeing those like countdown pages for
I can't even talk
little
about
girls.
That.
But like how is that
for Mary-Kate and Ashley specifically?
But that's and Emma Watson.
Yeah.
And like that was so traumatizing for them. But that's the exact same thing now is like when a little girl's an influencer or she goes viral and then the second she turns 18 she starts an OnlyFans. Like, honey, you are a victim.
Yeah.
You are a victim. That is so scary. And like I have nothing, do what you want with your body, but like this is a child who's been sexualized. She basically got groomed into being a porn star.
Yeah.
That's so fucked and scary.
No, I agree.
And then you little freaks all signed up for it.
That's very true.
Prison.
A lot of people
immediately
did.
Immediately prison.
For her to be the top earning.
Immediately prison. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of...
prison?
No. Little girl influencers. JoJo Siwa. Have you seen her new music video?
Oh. Karma's a bitch. Yeah. Shouldn't have known better. Crazy.
I watched an interview with her this morning that had me dying laughing because the guy who's interviewing her is trying not to laugh while she's talking.
Oh, I saw that one where she was like,
it's so funny.
I'm making a new genre of music. It's called gay pop. We're like, have you ever, that's just pop.
Well, she's like, I'm doing something that nobody's ever done before.
Yeah.
Like, literally sounds like that.
No, I know. Is she putting on a voice? Because she didn't sound like that. Like, not long ago.
I feel, you know what I'm confused about? I feel like there was a second where we were all kind of like on the JoJo train. Like, we're like, she's back. She's kind of cool. Like, she's quirky. She's doing her thing.
Well, there used to be a thing because she was like a 16-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, wow, this is a 16-year-old girl who knows her audience is like 9 to 14-year-olds. And she's not over-sexualizing herself. She's not, you know, it was kind of refreshing. Like,
yeah,
you guys are making fun of her dumb bow. She's 15.
Right.
Like,
let her wear a dumb bow.
She should be wearing big dumb bows and, like, jackets with rainbows on them. 15-year-olds shouldn't have a full beat and, like...
Kind of sounds like how I dress sometimes. So.
Yeah. But I'm just... And, like, so it was kind of refreshing to finally see someone in the eye. And then she came out as a lesbian. And it was, like, cool. This is, like, some really cool representation that is, you know, hitting a little... niche that maybe we didn't have before, and I think that's gonna be really great and open a lot of people's eyes. And then I don't know what happened.
And then she just said, "Hello, it's me."
Her voice is brand new.
I don't know, dude. And I did see, I saw a TikTok today. Do you remember Tegan and Sarah?
Yes.
The lesbian twins?
Yes, I reposted that.
Oh, okay. I thought that was so funny.
That's one of my favorite bands.
I'm sorry, gay pop? We originated
been
that.
Been there, done that.
We're gay twin sisters.
Yeah.
Top that.
Identical.
Identical gay twin sisters. You fucking top that, JoJo.
I love them so much.
I do too.
Living Room is the best song in the world. I just think they're the cutest little things.
They're like
the,
in interviews too,
like their personalities are so different, and it's just like I just love them. Tegan and Sarah are so good. Hi, Tegan and Sarah. You guys can send this to them. We
yeah,
like,
please send this to them.
Just don't send it to that mean girl
and
from Dr. Phil.
And also don't send it to JoJo Siwa either.
JoJo, I've just got some advice. Call me. But yeah. Hey, you want to talk about rich? She's richer than any of us will ever be in our entire lives. So
I was listening to her on a podcast because the podcaster was like, he was like, you know what? Do what you want to do. Like, whatever floats your boat. But like, just get rid of the car decals of your face. Like,
oh no, she just got them redone.
Yeah, I know. And she was like, no, you don't understand. This is the best marketing tool I've ever done in my entire life.
She's right. Yeah. Here's the thing. We're talking about her, aren't we?
No. And that's what she said.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
I literally can't even be that much of a hater. Like, we're talking about her.
She literally said that on the podcast. She said, you're talking about it.
Yeah, I'm on this podcast right now because of it.
And he goes, you're absolutely right.
No, my favorite thing is because when she turned 16, she got this car with decals of her face all over it. And it was the classic when she had that high pony.
Yes.
And the big bows. And there was those pictures all over her car. And then now during her rebrand, she rebranded the car to have pictures of her with the kiss makeup on.
You have to rebrand.
I just love that the car is also going through this transformation with her.
I didn't ask for this.
I kind of respect it. She's like, you're coming along for the ride, buddy. And he's like, no.
He's like, I wanted to
kill me.
Wear rainbows. What are you talking about? He's like, you're scaring me. You changed your voice.
I think so often I see people who are rich and like I just don't understand how or why or what is happening there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and I think I know it's me, and it's because I'm not involved. I don't pay attention enough, and I also don't know how people make money. Clearly, I'm not good at
clearly,
it.
Clearly, we don't know what we're doing. So,
but I'm like, what do you mean? Like that person makes that much money to have like a giant mansion? And
I don't remember, like, because I watched Dance Moms for the first time after JoJo was already kind of famous, but I don't even know like what the thing was that made her the most famous one from Dance Moms, because I thought Maddie Ziegler is supposed to be like the girl, so why is she not as rich
as
JoJo?
She, I feel like that situation with Sia was weird. She was like Sia's little like mini me proxy.
Yeah, because she was a dancer
and she like got really famous or whatever doing that, and then she was in that movie where she plays like an autistic.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I didn't see it either because everyone was like, do not go see this.
How old was she?
She's probably like 17. This wasn't that long ago. And what's her name made it? It was Sia made the movie.
Oh, I saw a movie recently with her in it, but she was like, she played like the cool girl in school. That's not the same one?
I would assume not, because
I don't know.
Autistic people were like, this movie fucking sucks. And also just hire a real autistic actor if you're going to make the whole thing about like autism awareness.
Then I didn't see it.
Yeah, but she did that, and that was like a whole big thing. Did not go over well, I'm assuming. I mean, once again, it wasn't like digging into it. These are just the things that come across my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had to, every day I feel like I'm learning about like a new person who's the most famous person on earth. And I'm like, how have I never heard of this person before in my life? Like, who the fuck's Anna Paul?
I have no idea.
Okay, she got like 25 million followers, and she's rich as shit and just like wanders around the world and is always on vacation. And I just found out about her because she had beef with this other TikToker girl, or this other TikToker girl was trying to start beef with her. And I only heard about her. She's super famous too, has millions and millions of followers. And I only heard about her because her baby died.
Oh, no.
I know. And I'm like, who are these people? And they're so famous.
Are these just TikTok celebrities?
I don't know. I went to one of their Instagram pages and they had a lot of Instagram followers too.
Okay.
But like these are very famous and they're very, very rich. They live giant houses and
shit.
This is
what is like social media has made this whole new brand of fame. So it's like very confusing because I don't know half of them.
I just feel like there's a new one every single day and they're the most famous person in the world. And everyone's like, how have you never heard of this person?
Yeah, they're like, you're an idiot. You live under a rock.
There's 30,000 of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really hard. I mean, we're talking mad shit. Like, we're a podcasters. That's the most basic ass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, people can talk shit
about
me.
We're part of the problem, for the record. But it's also just confusing. I feel like I can't keep up. It does make me feel old.
Yes, I agree. Hard agree. Also, speaking of old, JoJo Siwa is like 22. That's weird.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because when she was on Dance Mom, she was like 6, 7.
She was like 9, I think.
Whatever,
I don't know.
One of those ages.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I don't know. Yeah, I did really like Dance Moms.
Love Abby Lee Miller.
Now I'm aware, my frontal lobe has formed, and I'm aware that it is a horrifying genre of television that I should have never participated in, but...
Abby Lee.
What can you do?
You know her, you love her.
It was, like, just always on when we were in college. Yeah. All right, let's welcome some of our new patrons.
Some of our Dance Moms.
Some of our new... You are at the top of the pyramid this
Ooh.
Week.
And at the top of the pyramid
is... Sorry, my computer's loading. Loading. We have... Amina L.
Amina, you're doing great, sweetie.
Okay, but seriously, thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon. Thank you to Amina L.
Hello, Amina.
Thank you to Lay L.
Hello, Lay.
Thank you to Lisa W.
Lisa.
Welcome to Elizabeth T.
Hi, Elizabeth.
And welcome to Adam A.
Hello, Adam.
So thank you guys so much for joining our Patreon. As you could probably gather from the conversation we just had, we are solely funded through you guys. And we totally dig you. We couldn't be doing this podcast without you. And we just thank you so much for your support. Make sure you check those Patreon messages. Amanda will be sending out stuff to get your addresses so you can get your goodies. And if you have joined Patreon and you never sent us your address or you forgot to check the DMs on there, go do that now.
Please.
And I also wanted to say thank you to someone who bought us a beer. So Danny M. bought us some beers and said, "Hello, sweet ladies. Here are some get well. This is for some get well soup or maybe recovery Taco Bell ? After a hard week. Love you both. Also, congratulations on having over 200 episodes. Looking forward to many, many more laughs, tears, and super interesting Cassidy facts. Big hugs, Danny."
Gotta love them.
This week, no Cassidy facts. Just Cassidy haterade.
I know.
What?
You are sipping that haterade today.
I can't talk about famous people.
No, I know.
Without it being not the nicest thing in the world because everything about it confuses me.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I'm not judging.
I feel a little judged.
I'm sorry.
I am going a little crazy. I'm having like the worst period of my life right now. And I'm like, really? I had fucking stomach flu and then I have to immediately roll into this. It's the worst.
You know who did that?
That guy, the guy up there.
The man upstairs.
The guy who didn't rapture us today.
He's not going to rapture us.
That's so true.
We are not going anywhere.
We're staying seated.
Yes. We're here. He wanted us to like continue giving you guys content, really. So that's why we're not getting raptured.
Obviously, yeah. So. We have a VIP ticket for later. clearly. Oh, I wanted to say thank you to Karen from Oregon, who sent us our late Christmas presents.
Oh my gosh.
They're so sweet. I just put the Sasquatch sticker on my computer and I love my mug.
I love my mug.
Amanda's mug says cunt. And mine says, "I'm sorry for having great tits and correct opinions."
Yeah. It just makes sense.
You killed it. It was very good. We laughed out loud when we opened did. Them. Amanda's is especially good because the handle makes the C for cunt. And I just love that.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. So I wanted to shout you out because we forgot to last week.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. Because I wanted to tell you about this dream that I had because we always talk about Jack Black on this show and how much I love him.
Oh, yeah. Jack Black.
I had a dream that Jack Black was in love with me, right? And it was like young Jack Black.
You could pull Jack Black.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's my favorite question right now is what celebrity do you feel like you could realistically pull? And like not when you are your hottest, like right now. And you have to factor in like they have types.
You're insinuating that we're not at our hottest.
I know I'm not. But no, I had a dream that I was at like a party in a house and Jack Black was there and he was in love with me. And he was like, "I gotta have you." And I was like, "This is so flattering. But I'm sorry, Mr. Black. Like, I'm not single.
Wow.
I'm sorry." And so he just started stabbing everyone.
Oh, no. In a jealous rage.
Yeah, he was like, don't worry, I'm going to get you out of here. And he was like sneaky stabbing people. And then someone stabbed me. And I was like, why am I getting stabbed?
Like,
and they were like, you are clearly in on it. You and Jack, or you've planned this massacre. And I was like, I am not in on it. I just happen to be so hot and wonderful that he's in love with me and wants to stab people about it. That's not my fault.
It would only make sense if Jack Black stabbed Andrew. Why does he have to stab everybody?
Andrew wasn't even there.
Was I there? Did he stab me?
You were there.
That's rude.
You did not get stabbed,
though.
Oh,
thank you.
We were fleeing.
Okay.
Me and you were fleeing.
Great.
We did get trapped in an elevator at one point, though.
Oh, that's one of my biggest fears.
Yeah, but we did it on purpose because we knew like we needed that was a safe place, so we hit that button that stops it.
I would die. I would rather be stabbed than be trapped in an elevator. And you know I'm serious.
No, I know you are. But yeah, it was such a crazy dream. And we always talk about Jack Black on here. And people always send me Jack Black memes now because I talked about how much I love him. So
remember
I was like,
when he opened for the Jonas Brothers?
Yes.
Ugh, that would have been a dream come true to see.
Ugh. And wasn't he wearing his outfit, his Bowser outfit?
He was.
Iconic.
Iconic. See? Silly little guy. It's all coming around.
I love a silly little guy. I'm not joking you. My boyfriend got so mad at me once because he was like, why don't you find any actors attractive? And I'm like, that's not true. I do.
Jack Black.
And I started listing them and he's like, what is your type? What is happening? And I was like, you're confused that my type is a silly little guy coming from the biggest silly little guy of them all? Okay. Get real. Get so real.
Yeah. We were just talking about this. I was like, Cassidy's type is silly little guy.
Silly little guy up to no good.
Up to no good.
But in a fun way, not in an evil way.
And my type is just, you're classically handsome. Celebrity.
Just classically handsome. Built like a Greek god.
Yes, pretty much. Chiseled. I'm sorry, young Matthew McConaughey. Can do no wrong.
Yeah, your only hear me out is Gordon Ramsay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So hot. That's the only one, though.
Oh, no. Your other hear me out is, what's his name? Thanos.
He is hot. He's chiseled. What do you mean? Have you seen him?
He looks like one of those thumb creatures from Spy Kids.
All right. Is his head a little big? Sure.
Forgive it.
Have you seen his abs? Come on.
Amanda's a body gal. She's okay if you're a, what's it called? Butterface.
A butterface.
Or butter's face.
That's typical.
Oh, I did want to say, everyone go get on our, speaking of pop culture, if you like listening to us talk about pop culture, we have a chat with us pop culture video on Patreon right now. We also have our coverage of the three-part HBO documentary,
Paradise Lost,
which is really heavy but also really interesting. That documentary ruined my life. And we also have A Shot of Kool-Aid coming out later this week and a bunch of stuff, fun stuff on a new serial killer episode. We have a ton of stuff lined up for the rest of this month, so make sure you do go get on Patreon and check us out.
We'll see you over there.
We'll see you there. Hope you're ready to talk shit.
I mean, listen, if they're joining our Patreon, especially like we talk shit a lot in the regular episodes, so you know there's just going to be more shit talking.
It's so funny because like I am a certified hater. It is 90% of my personality. But I really do try to be like really thoughtful with the way that I discuss like, you know, because they're human beings at the end of the day.
They are.
So I do try to be at least like a little bit thoughtful about stuff. And then I still end up feeling like guilty. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, why are you like this? And then I remember that there's whole podcasts just dedicated to saying the meanest thing you could ever think about every single thing you can think of. And people love them.
I listen to those podcasts.
I was like, gonna say, they've got big fans.
I specifically listen to podcasts like that I know are talking about the exact same thing, like whatever's relevant in pop culture, but I just want to hear their mean takes on it.
Interesting.
I mean, some of the podcasts are really nice about it.
Yeah.
When they shouldn't be. Like, you can tell, like, we're under a contract, so we can't say
Like,
we can't say what we're really thinking.
Yeah.
But then you have other podcasts that are under their own contract, and then they say whatever they're the fuck they want.
They're getting wild with it.
And I like that.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do like to hear it. I'm like, ooh.
I love to hear it.
Yeah.
And I love it when I'm like, oh, really? That's what you think? But then I still listen. Because I'm like, well, I want to disagree with you.
Amanda does listen to podcasts that she hates.
I do.
It's very confusing.
I did stop listening to one of them because they were just annoying me, but
yeah,
but for the most part I do like, I like to disagree. I like when I agree with them and I like when I disagree with them.
Yeah, you like different.
It's fun.
Different perspectives.
Yeah. I feel like people probably do the same when they listen to us.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's at least 50% hate listening.
What is it? What's like the thing?
Hate watching. Hate listening.
Or like, you haven't made it until you got haters. Is that like a saying?
Haters make me famous.
Haters make me famous. I think that's what I was trying to go for.
She it's all big talk right now, but she does not handle it well.
Oh no, I'll cry. I cry. You guys don't even want to know the things that make me cry. It'll be like a comment where Cassidy will be like, that's not even that bad.
It's not even mean. Yeah.
And I cried for 15
like,
minutes.
I'll be like, that was like kind of a compliment. They just were like asking us to do this, like, whatever.
Someone was just like saying like, oh, I couldn't find your story somewhere. Like I was looking for it. Can you send me that episode? And I cried.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
No.
But something like that, you know?
It does seem like something you cry about. I immediately was like, yeah, this checks out. I would like to know the logic though. Yeah. Oh, ooh. We're super excited because they're coming out with another... a follow-up to the Jinx.
I'm so excited.
Which, as you guys know, we covered that on Patreon already, and that whole story is just crazy to me. So we're definitely going to be covering that on Patreon, too, when the new episodes of the Jinx come out.
Yeah, it drops on April 21st, and I'm really excited. I saw the trailer
so
for it.
Soon.
I know. I saw the trailer last night, and I was like, like, it got me so excited.
And he's in the trailer, like, being interviewed. I was like, oh, shit, he came back for more. That guy's wild.
He wants to be famous.
He does, and he is such a weird little... creep.
This is literally the episode of people wanting to be famous.
That's so
true.
And
us talking about it.
And us wanting to be famous.
And us a little
bit.
You
wanting to be famous. Me loving to just yap. And so, if you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. And you saying, if we get famous, Amanda, you know the consequences.
Oh, yeah.
So.
The meaner people are really allowed to be to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you say it all the time. You say if you're famous, like, free game.
Yeah.
They can say anything they want.
If you're, like, really rich, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about it, guys.
Sorry, guys. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever.
Speaking of famous little guys.
You have a famous little guy?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Let's get started on our stories. All right. So today I'm going to be talking about Casper Hauser.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I was actually reading my Mysterious Universe, like, book that I have. It's, like, all a bunch of old Reader's Digest stuff, and that's where I first found this story, like, a while ago, and I've been wanting to cover it because I like a weird little guy.
I love a weird little guy.
But I also read articles from The Atlantic from 1861, the Encyclopedia Britannica, and, of course, Wikipedia. All right, so we're going to set the scene.
Okay.
It's 1828 in Germany. We're in Nuremberg, Germany, actually. And it is May 26th, and there is a guy, and he is like a shoe cobbler, and he's out cobbling on the streets.
On the cobblestone.
And he sees this weird kid he's never seen before wandering in the street. He looks like a teenager, young-ish, like maybe 14, 15, 16. And, of course, he sticks out to this guy who makes shoes, because the first thing that he sees is that the kid's shoes are, like, busted open and have holes in them, and his feet are, like, barely in them. And he's like, that's so weird. Like, what's going on? So he walks over to the kid. He's like, what's up? The kid's like, can't speak. Doesn't say anything. Just kind of confused, looking around. Very bizarre. So he's like, okay, I'm going to take you to the police station, and maybe they'll help you. Like, you seem disoriented. So this guy brings this kid to the police station. The police are trying to talk to him. He's not answering any of their questions. The most he'll say is, like, don't know, or he'll say horse. But, like, that's all they can really get out of him. And then they find a letter in one of his pockets, and it's addressed to the captain of the 4th Squadron of the 6th Cavalry Regiment, Captain von Wessnig, who lived in Nuremberg, not far.
That was a mouthful.
So they're like, oh, maybe he, like, this kid knows this guy. So they bring him over, and sure enough, this guy's like, I have no idea who this kid is. And the kid says, I want to be a cavalryman like my father. Only full sentence we've gotten out of him. And then everything else is either don't know or horse.
Okay.
So he said horse a lot.
Interesting that he can just say that sentence.
Yes, perfectly that sentence. So they're like, who the fuck, what is going on? And in that letter that was to this guy who's in the cavalry, it says like, oh, he has never left a step from his house in order that nobody might know where he was brought up. Please let him become a horseman like his father or butcher him. He is so poor, it would be a bigger kindness to kill him than to let him live with nothing.
Wait, the letter said that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Maybe don't butcher the kid.
It also says that the kid's birthday was April 30th, 1812. And it also had, he also had a handkerchief with the initials KH on them. He was wearing pantaloons, obviously, which were like a normal style at that time, a silk necktie, a waistcoat, a gray jacket, and those busted up shoes that we talked about earlier.
This is like the old timey version of Big Daddy.
Big Daddy?
Yeah, the Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I had to think for a second. The letter ended with the writer saying that it would have, quote, cost me my neck had he escorted Hauser all the way into Nuremberg himself. So that's why the kid was just wandering the streets. So they also find a second letter in the kid's pocket that is allegedly from the child's mom to whoever had been taking care of him. And that letter also had his date of birth in there and said that the child's name was Casper Hauser. And that his father was a deceased cavalry officer. And when she had had the baby, he had already been dead. And so she couldn't take care of the kid.
Okay.
So they didn't know where to take him because they didn't have an orphanage or like any sort of public house set up in the area. So they kind of just took him to the local jail and had him chill in there where they fed him and bathed him. But anytime they tried to feed him anything but bread or water, he would like gag and like thought it was just like he would only eat bread and water. That's it. He was like a cat.
Oh, I was gonna say Jesus.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
Turn that water into wine. So when they bathed him, they realized that he had like very pale skin and that the bottoms of his feet, despite having bruises and like blisters from him walking with these broken shoes, were like smoother than the palm of somebody's hand. It was like he'd never walked on his feet before.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, as soon as this gets out, people are immediately obsessed with it. And they're like flocking to this area by like the hundreds to just get a glimpse of this kid. Some people are saying, oh, well, maybe I'll recognize him. Maybe he'll look like somebody I know. Maybe he's somebody that we've seen before in a different town and we can make these connections. But really, people just were nosy Nellies and wanted to come do a little look-see-loo.
Did they have newspapers in 1800?
Yes, they did.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, how did the word spread? Newspapers.
Yeah, and there's not a lot to do. There's gossiping anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he can't communicate, but one thing that they have gathered is that he loves horses, right? So one of the guards actually got him some wooden horses to play with, and he was so ecstatic, he begins opening up a little bit more.
Aww.
And he will talk to the horses, but it's not really in a language that anyone understands or, like, can fathom what he's trying to say. And then those limited other German words were the only things that he would say to people.
Oh, he's German. I forgot that.
This is in Germany, yeah.
Okay.
A local teacher and scientist named George Dahmer becomes interested in the young boy. He reads the story about it. It kind of, you know, makes his heart do a little like, oh, this is so sad, this poor kid. And so he starts visiting Casper regularly. And Casper does every day slowly start opening up to Dahmer. And George notices that he's making a little bit of progress with him. But every single time big groups of people start coming by, it ruins all the progress. It freaks him out. He doesn't like it. He gets weird again. And he regresses for a couple days. And at one point, he even got him to like start trying new foods and stuff. But the constant visits from all these looky-loos began to take such a toll on him. Casper was having stress-induced seizures.
Oh, no.
Because he was so stressed out and like overstimulated, basically.
Oh, poor baby.
Dahmer is distraught, obviously, and he offers to the city to take care of Casper for them. So since there was nobody, they could not connect this child with anybody, no family, nothing. They the city of Nuremberg adopted him. He became a ward of the entire city. And then there was a public fund raised to take care of him, and he went to go live with Dahmer.
Okay. So this is like good fame for a little kid.
Yes and no. We'll get there. When the mayor hears this story, he also had become quite fond of the young boy and, you know, felt very bad about his plight and the state that he was in. So when he hears that Casper is moving in with Dahmer, he releases a statement that went in all the local newspapers that said visiting or trying to find the Dahmer residence or Casper is strictly prohibited in the city of Nuremberg. Like, leave the kid alone, basically. Mm-hmm. And once he gets to George's house, he starts flourishing. He gets introduced to a horse that the mayor actually had, and he is an incredible horseback rider immediately. And this starts making people speculate, like, oh, maybe he's of royal blood, that he is so comfortable around horses. And he actually ends up growing two full inches in a matter of months because now he is eating real food.
Wow.
So he starts getting more comfortable eating different soups and meats and stuff. And so having all these proteins and different things in his diet, he literally grows 2 inches in a matter of 6 months. He also begins speaking and using words more fluidly and understanding language other than just those four words that he really knew. And even then, they didn't think he really understood what he was saying. They think it was more just of a practiced thing that he knew how to repeat, almost like a parrot.
Okay.
As he gets closer to the mayor and also his new family with the Dahmers, because Dahmer's mother and sister both live at the house too, he finally one day begins to open up about the first 16 years of his life. He claims that he grew up in a dungeon, basically. He never saw anyone. He never saw the sun. He never went outside one single time in his life. And he would wake up every morning to a loaf of bread and a jug of water. His cell, he said, was about 6 feet long and 3 feet wide. And there was a straw bed that he would sleep on. But it wasn't tall enough, really, for him to stand up all the way in there. So he never really walked around very much.
Oh, my God.
He said that sometimes he would drink his water and it would be fine, and other times he would drink it and it would have a bad taste to it, and then he would get very sleepy and fall asleep for long periods of time, and then when he would wake up after these sleeping spells, he would have new clothes on and be bathed.
Okay.
Yeah. He claimed he was never abused physically or sexually. The only thing that was close to physical abuse is at one point he had, and this was one of the first times he ever saw like a person in person, he had these two little toy horses that he liked to play with. And one time he was talking to them and playing with them and he got a little louder than he normally would. And someone ran in and hit him on the wrist with a cane, like to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But he was never really spoken to until he was about 15 years old when a man began teaching him a few phrases, which were horse and I would like to be a cavalry man like my father. And he would come in and practice and teach him these phrases every single day.
Okay.
Yeah. That same man then, after months of trying to teach him these phrases, he also taught him how to write his name perfectly. So he could perfectly write his own name, but that was it. Those only words he knew in writing. The same man brought him outside one day randomly. He had never seen the sun before. He'd never felt like weather. He didn't know what he was doing. And they just walked for an indeterminate amount of time. He has no idea how long they walked for. He said it could have been days. It could have been weeks. He literally doesn't know, until they got to the entrance of Nuremberg. And then the guy was like, keep going. You keep walking. I need to leave. And dipped. And he just walked. And that's when he was found wandering around in Nuremberg.
Okay. Wow. He really, he went from not saying anything to saying a lot.
Yes. Well, this took like a year and a half for them to get to this point. So obviously this is horrifying. And the rumors around town are keeping him in the limelight. And so for another about year or so, he's about 19, 20 at this point, they think. There's so much public interest in him, and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life, so he decides that he's going to write an autobiography. People want to hear this story. They might as well hear it straight from me instead of just in the gossip tabloids. So he kind of has this plan where he's going to write this autobiography. A lot of the more prominent people in town actually really like him and are very supportive of him and have spent time with him. But not long after the announcement, in October of 1929, Casper is sick, right? He's got the runs.
Oh, no.
And because of this upset stomach, he has to keep running out to the outhouse and then back inside. because it's coming out both ends.
Yeah, I would not survive if I had to run outside to an outhouse.
Yeah. So at one point, it's the middle of the day in October. He runs out to the outhouse because he's got to go. And he hears what sounds like someone approaching from the back garden, which is weird because that's the back of the house. So someone was coming out towards him, maybe from the other way. And he says he hears this person approaching, but he doesn't think that much of it because they would have chimney sweeps and different people, butlers and gardeners and stuff on the property who would work the land. So he's like, oh, maybe it was just someone who was back there. I didn't realize because I was in such a rush to get out here. Didn't realize there was someone in the back and they maybe heard me come in here and were like, oop, give him some privacy, right? Yeah. So he's sitting there going to the bathroom and he can see that there's like someone standing by the back gate, which is where he would exit the house. So then he thinks, oh, maybe they're looking for me. They don't realize I was out here and it was someone who's actually just looking for me. So when he gets done, he comes out and he walks towards the figure and is like, hi. And the man turns around, or what he thinks at least is a man, turns around. He's wearing a big hat, like a big brown leather hat, and a silk scarf to cover his face. And when he turns and sees Casper, he runs at him full speed, picks up something out of his coat, and hits Casper over the head with it as hard as he can. And Casper immediately falls to the ground. The last thing that Casper remembers is hearing the man say, you will die before you leave Nuremberg.
What?
And then he left him there for dead. So Casper actually falls into a coma for the next several days. He's delirious. He's in and out of consciousness, mostly out of consciousness. And he has, of course, Dahmer and his mom are the ones who find him. He had like crawled into the cellar, probably because that's where he felt safe, if that's, you know, where he grew up. And they found him down there bleeding. His head was bleeding from the head wound. And he didn't wake up and had a fever and was super sick for like 2 days. And according to the people in the house who were taking care of Casper, they said he would come in and out of consciousness and cry things like, why would man do that? I never hurt man. I hurt no one. About being hit in the head.
Yeah.
And he spoke in very broken German.
Did he speak in this broken German the whole time, like since he got there?
Yes.
Okay. So he never was able to really
talk. Okay. Not like in full sentences, except for that one sentence that he memorized about being a cavalryman like my father. Mm-hmm. Once Casper kind of recovers, he claimed that the man who had hit him, he thought sounded exactly like the man who had held him captive for all of those years. He knew that voice. It was the only voice he'd ever heard in his life until a year ago, right? And so it was assumed that he caught wind of the autobiography and was trying to stop it from being written.
That makes sense.
This, of course, became a huge point of contention, with some people in town even claiming that they thought Casper was lying, that he was a fraud, and that he had hurt himself to try and dispel those rumors. This also reignited some old theories about who Casper could be. So when he first showed up and people were looking at him, they're thinking, this guy looks familiar.
He's 15.
He's like 15 or 16. Okay. I think with the birth date that was in one of the letters, he was 16 years old when they found him. So now he's about 19, 20. So they're like, this guy looks a little familiar. And, you know, some people start doing some calculating and they're like, okay, he's around 16. Obviously, we don't know for sure if that's his real birthday or not. But just by looking at him, he's probably 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there. And they're doing some math and they realize that Casper would have been almost the exact same age as the Prince of Baden, who was a sickly son of royals who passed away in childhood when he was an infant.
Okay.
And this becomes a very popular theory around town that he is actually the Prince of Baden, who was either stolen from the royals and they were told that he died in because he was sick, or something else was going on with who was going to inherit this land.
Okay.
Because this family did have a piece of land that was previously like ancient Rome or whatever that they were in charge of.
Okay. So we're thinking Mother Gothel takes Rapunzel in the middle of the night from her royal family, hides her in a tower.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And apparently this kid who died, he only had sisters after that. So they were thinking maybe there was somebody who was trying to get in line for that to be in charge of that area. So this was a very, very popular theory, and he did look very similar to paintings of both the mom and the dad of this child who allegedly passed away.
Okay.
So that became a very popular theory, so much so that Lord Stanhope ends up getting custody of Casper and takes him over. He thinks that he might actually be related to the Hungarian Countess Matheny, but he takes him over to Hungary, and he does know some Hungarian words already. It's interesting, right?
Okay.
But when he's taken to Hungary, he doesn't recognize anything or anyone, and nothing really jogs his memory. He does at one point, though, claim that he himself thought that the countess was his mother.
Okay. Just because he thought she looked familiar?
Yes. So Casper was always kind of in some sort of weird situation. Like, for example, he shot himself in the head in what he claims was an accident, where he was climbing up onto a shelf to grab like a book, and there was his revolver was on the shelf next to it. And when he slipped and fell, he literally set off the gun and shot himself in the head.
Okay.
Which like sounds insane, but also if that actually happened to you, like imagine, you're like, I promise I didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, he's like, if I wanted to die, I would have just done it again.
Yeah, because it was just like a very superficial wound. Like it went, like just skimmed him, right? Yeah. And so people already were having thoughts like, oh, maybe he's just a scammer and we're all being scammed, because think about it. They set up this fund for him and now he's hanging out with royalty and he's got this like whole thing going on, right?
Okay. I don't know.
And in 1833, when Casper is 21, he comes into his house in Bavaria, that's where he's living at this point, with a stab wound right beneath his chest. He claims that someone who he didn't recognize approached him to hand him a bag, and when he went to go grab the bag, they stabbed him and then ran off.
Wow.
So he tells them this and then passes out, right? And they call the police immediately. The police come over. They go check out this garden park area that's next to their house. And they do find a small velvet purple bag. And inside of that bag, there was a handwritten note that said, Hauser will be able to tell you quite precisely how I look from where and from where I am. To save Hauser the effort, I want to tell you myself where I come from. And then there's two dash marks. And then it says, I come from --, the Bavarian border, --, on the river, --, I will even tell you my name, and then M-L-O.
All right. There's a lot of mystery going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, Casper Hauser dies from his injuries.
From the stab wound?
From the stab wound. Yeah.
Man. Bro, you survived the gunshot to your head?
I know. And getting knocked in the head so hard. Apparently, he was known for having this huge scar after that first incident because he got hit so hard.
And getting knocked in the head when he was a kid, too, a bunch, if that's true.
Yeah. So he did get buried, and he had a headstone. And in Latin, his headstone reads, Here lies Casper Hauser, riddle of his time. His birth was unknown, his death mysterious, 1833.
Okay, so there's no way he was a scammer, because why would he want to die?
So some people think that, okay, so there's like four different thought processes here of what was going on. First, obviously, he was just a scammer. He maybe did something bad or was trying to flee an abusive situation. And there's been some psychologists that are like, he might have been actually abused so intensely that his brain just blocked it out, and to him, he was just alone in this place all the time. So that's one thing that people have said, or that he was abused so intensely, but he wanted to start fresh without all of that on him. Some people think that he could be a scammer, could be any old age. Maybe he could have been much older than he was, had some sort of medical condition going on, and realized that he could get taken care of if he plays this act of being this missing boy.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he must have just been stupid. Because he didn't feel like he didn't do it right.
No, absolutely.
But he also
not.
Was always just like saying things.
Like, what did he want?
Yeah.
Other than just like having a home.
Just to be comfortable, but, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does seem like a weird thing. Like, and why would you choose to say horse all the time?
It feels like genuinely like, I almost feel like he was just being honest and people are just like, that just sounds too ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pretend, I'm going to just assume that you're lying and you made this all up.
Because
smart, but really, it's just
because the
really
smart
happened.
Thing to do when someone tells you an insane story is be a little bit questioning of it, right? But unfortunately, insane things do happen all of the time.
And I mean, he did die at 21.
He did. And so there have been DNA tests. There was the first one was in like the 1990s and the second one was in 2002. They have pieces of hair and stuff that they claim is from Hauser, right? And they've tested it. One test came out that there's absolutely no way he was related to this royal line at all. But then there was another test done in 2002 that actually did have matching genomes to, or I don't know, matching DNA, something that is not like the whole strand, but familial matching DNA to a descendant of that family.
Yeah.
That would have been his. But they only had female DNA. I don't know. There's something about like the type of DNA they had that they couldn't be 100% certain. But some people claim that it had to have been him and he had to have been either kidnapped or on, you know, disappeared by his family.
I feel like the
and then maybe he was supposed to kill him once he turned 16, but then the guy couldn't do it. So he was like, okay, you're going to go do this other thing. Here's your fake name.
Okay. But I guess for me, I'm like the letters that were found. I mean, like he wants to be a horse, whatever jockey, like his father.
Yeah, he wanted to be in the cavalry.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems
it's weird.
And then also, I mean, is it possible that his parents were just pieces of shit and locking him away?
Yeah, of course. Anything's possible.
Or the dungeon thing never happened, and maybe his parents were just like.
Yeah, that's one
abusing
of,
him.
Yeah, that's one of the
he
theories.
He made that up.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be possible.
But
I do like the, I don't like it, but I, the theory that he was kidnapped from his parents at a young age and then taken and kept in a dungeon.
Yeah, that's the most popular.
Yeah, that would,
theory that he's some sort of royal that somebody didn't want in the succession line, mm-hmm. and so he got booted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, who's the guy? I don't know. This is so confusing.
Yeah, like, who killed him and why?
I mean, yeah.
But, okay, so the police did say that they thought it was possible that Hauser could have written that final note himself because it did have some grammatical errors that he would commonly make. And then there was a psychologist who obviously came out and said if he would have actually been kept in a dungeon like that for that long and never seen the sun, and like, he would have been so beyond mentally fucked that there's no way he could have ever become even a little normal.
Okay.
Which that makes sense to me. But then there were also people saying like, no, there have been things that people have overcome that are shocking how average they become after the things that they've been through for their entire life, their entire childhood or whatever. So I don't really know enough about the human brain.
I mean, also
to...
you said that he never was able to like, actually speak eloquently and like
it's not like all of a sudden he became Albert Einstein. He always struggled with speech. He always struggled, and like he spoke in broken German, they said, and it was very patchy how he would speak.
So exactly, so he wasn't ever 100%.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there is a big statue dedicated to him. And people just love this story. And it's one of those stories where people get really pissed off, online at least. I was reading. They're like, how stupid do you have to be? He was clearly just a scammer. Like, it's not a mystery.
But I just don't, like, I just feel like if he was trying to scam, he would have become some, like, famous. He would have been, like, in the Calvary, like, his note set or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he would have done those things.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like?
Yeah. Maybe he would have actually written the autobiography.
Exactly.
And that's the weird thing. Like, and there's so many people that are suspicious about whether or not someone was actually trying to kill him or if he was just needed attention so bad he didn't mind hurting himself. But I don't know. And like that, because that component to it makes a huge difference too.
Yeah.
Like if somebody was actually trying to kill him, that puts more weight into the, oh, he was a secreted away royal.
Yeah. Because I have, so I have a list of like stories I want to do in the future and mm-hmm. I have him, his name under my scammer. Because that's how everyone portrays him.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the story.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know.
I here's the thing. I read lots of stuff. I would say it was about 50-50 on people calling him a scammer and people not. And people just being like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. But even, like I said, the DNA testing stuff, I found two separate scientific articles, one claiming that they proved definitively that he wasn't related to this royal family, and then one claiming that more than likely they had discovered that he is. So I was like, okay, there's a lot of conflicting information here.
I mean, it was the 1800s, so
it was.
We're never going to fully know, I don't think, ever.
And even, like, the samples, the DNA samples and stuff, you know, stuff gets degraded. There's chain of custody issues, you know.
I think he was just a mysterious little guy.
Just a weird little guy.
Yeah.
Gone too soon.
He just entered a town, did some mysterious things, and left.
Shook it up for like 5 years and then died. Yeah. Crazy.
And listen, he did leave a legacy.
He did.
So.
We're still talking about him.
We're still talking about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is the mysterious life of Caspar Hauser.
It's very mysterious.
Right?
Wow.
The whole, the appearance, the... Because here's the thing, too. If he was, like, a scammer, he was traveling all over the place with these people because they wanted to figure out who he was. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever recognized him. They had sketches of him in newspapers. They had all of this stuff. Nobody recognized him. That's also weird.
I don't know. I'm really feeling... I think that he was being honest. I think that he was kidnapped as a baby and kept hidden away.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he was being honest. I don't know. And then all these people were coming because they knew where he was, obviously, because the news was getting out.
Yeah.
And they were trying to kill him because they were like, fuck you. We don't want our shit being blasted.
Yeah. If they start trying to figure out who you really are, it'll fuck us up.
Exactly. And then they're going to find us. We can't have that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird little guy.
Weird little guy. Okay. So... let's continue talking about some weird little guys.
You have a weird little guy, too?
I have a couple weird little guys.
Okay.
Actually. So we're going to talk about kind of, it's technically three different cryptids, but I think they're all the same creature.
Okay.
From Ohio.
Okay.
So my sources are NorthAmericanCryptids.com, The Portalist by Natalie D'Elia, AnomAlien.com by Jake Carter, a bunch of different newspaper clippings between 1955 and 1959, Wikipedia, and of course, Brent Swanser's article on Mysterious Universe, because he's just the greatest.
Your favorite website.
Imagine he's like the worst person on the planet, because I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We don't know anything about him.
I'm just like, love him. He could be a horrible person.
I love him too. It's fine.
That's okay. Okay, so Ohio is... known for like a lot of spooky hauntings and just weird shit happening all the time. We've definitely spoken about Ohio a lot when it comes to the paranormal. Mm-hmm. But they also have a lot of very bizarre sightings of different creatures or monsters. So there are these weird little guys that are a little more well known because of their name. I think it intrigues a lot of people. So I know a lot of people have heard of them before. The Loveland Frogmen.
Yes.
So the frogmen first made their appearance one night in May of 1955 when a traveling salesman was driving through Loveland, Ohio, and he crossed a very dark, dimly lit bridge over the Little Miami River. So as he's coming to the end of the bridge, he sees these strange-looking creatures that are all huddled together on the side of the road. So the guy slowed his car down just to get a better look, and that's when he could see that these three creatures seemed to be about 4 feet tall. They had webbed hands and feet, a strange colored, leathery looking, wrinkly skin, and the craziest part of all, their heads and faces looked like frogs.
Yes.
He also said that they were completely hairless, but they had these little like indents in the head where hair would be, like little lumps.
Okay.
So basically a very big frog that's standing up on two legs.
I can picture it.
I would.
Just like an Animorphs cover.
Can you imagine? Yeah, literally Animorphs. The smell of alfalfa and almonds wafted into his car as one of the frogmen spotted him. I don't know what alfalfa smells like.
It's like a type of hay, basically.
Okay.
Like a grass.
So after the frogman spots him, he's still looking at them, and he sees one of them pull out a stick of some kind, and then sparks begin to fly out of the tip of the stick.
Okay. He's got a Roman candle?
Most people say it's like a wand, like a magic wand, but it could be a Roman candle. Yeah. We don't know.
I don't know how advanced their technology is.
We don't know these frogs.
No.
We don't know what they're trying to do. So, of course, once this man sees the fucking stick with the shit coming out of it. He hits the gas and drives away as fast as he can. So he reports his encounter to the police. And obviously this is like an incredibly ridiculous thing to have witnessed. So the story was kind of forgotten. It was just tossed.
I would literally never call the police to tell them that I saw a frogman.
No, I would just secretly go insane for the next 20 years
of my
life.
Yeah, I'd probably just call you and be like, should we disappear into the woods? Like something weird's happening. I saw a friggin' frogman.
I saw an anamorph.
Yeah.
With a magic
wand.
It's
not right. She had a Roman candle.
What was she trying to do? So years and years later, literally like 17 years, on March 3rd, 1972, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and a police officer named Ray Shockey is driving along a dark road towards Loveland when he slams on his brake because he thinks a dog is running across the road. He's like, fuck. But once he focuses his eyes on what the creature is, it was not a dog. He said it was a 3 to 4 foot creature with leathery, wrinkly skin. It ran out in front of his car, crouched down like a frog before it stood up and climbed over a guardrail towards the river.
Average Ohioan.
Yeah, typical. He said this was clear as day because the headlights were directly on this thing, so he could literally see it perfectly. 2 weeks later, another police officer named Mark Matthews thought that he saw an injured or dead animal in the middle of the road while he was driving into Loveland. So he pulls over his car to, like, either help the animal or just move it to the side of the road so nobody runs over it. So he gets out of his car, and when he goes to pick it up, the animal jumps up and crouches down in front of him. So Matthew's initial reaction, pull out his gun and shoot the thing.
Of course. Once again, typical Ohioan.
Typical Ohioan. Shout out. We love you, Ohio. Okay.
Sorry, I'm from Illinois, so it's, like, a rule that I have to talk a little bit of shit about Ohio.
Oh, are you guys, like... You have beef?
No, it's like, you know how like people from California like talk crap on Arizona, like zonies, Arizona. People from Arizona are like, oh, people from California, you know?
You just got to give them a little
it's
crap.
It's like people, it's like New Jersey and New York.
Oh, yeah,
like you got,
sure.
You got, you're beefing a little. It's all
just,
in fun.
Just a little, yeah.
It's all in fun.
So he shoots the thing and then he sees the creature hobble over to the side of the road and then hop over the guardrail and run away. So he's obviously just like in shock. Now, a few years after this encounter, Mark Matthews actually pulled his sightings from the record. He completely changed his story, and he said that he believed what he saw that night was actually just some type of, like, small iguana that was missing its tail, and he thought it was just someone's pet that escaped.
Just a loose iguana.
Yeah, he was like, you know what?
Typical Ohio.
Typical Ohio.
Loose iguanas everywhere.
This guy's iguana got out. I'm so sorry I shot it. It was just someone's pet. I did not see a 4 foot tall frogman. Mm-hmm. Don't think I'm crazy, please.
Please.
So no more stories of this creature had come out until 2016 when Sam Jacobs and his girlfriend were out in Cincinnati playing Pokemon Go.
Ooh, recent.
Recent.
How topical. Pokemon Go to the polls. Do you remember when she said that?
Insane. Who said that?
Hillary Clinton.
Did she really?
Yes.
Wow.
Do you want to know what's even funnier? Kate tweeted almost exactly that and was like, can't wait for Hillary Clinton to say a Pokemon polling joke or whatever. And then she said it like 3 weeks later.
Shut the fuck up.
It was so funny.
So she read Kate's tweet.
Clearly.
Wow.
She was like, this is a great idea.
She's like, I'm influenced. I'm going to say this. It's going to kill. So this kid and his girlfriend are playing Pokemon Go around Cincinnati. And they're obviously looking through the Pokemon Go app. And if you don't know this app, it's like your the back of your camera and you are looking at the real world. But then like little Pokemon creatures come in and then you can like shoot them or whatever.
Yeah.
Zap them up with your Pokemon ball.
Capture them.
Capture. Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon.
That's the word I was looking for. But Sam Jacobs claims that he saw a large frog down near the water. Then he watched it stand up on its hind legs. And they actually captured a video of what they saw, but it was really, really dark. And they sent it to the local news. So the local news then took a screen like shot of a part of this video and they tried to brighten it up as much as they could.
Okay.
So this is what they claim is what they saw.
Oh, it's just typical Ohio.
It literally looks like Kermit the Frog.
It does. It like I also like that he looks disappointed in himself.
Yeah, he's just like, oh man.
His body language is not positive.
He just looks like
he's having a rough day.
I
and he's
was
like,
caught.
Great, and now I'm getting Pokemon Go'd by these kids.
Yeah, he's like, you can't catch me in your Pokeballs.
Yeah, he's like, first Sharon leaves me. And now I'm getting Pokemon Go'd out of my own pond.
That's so Ohio.
That's so Ohio.
I think it looks like fucking Jiminy Cricket or some like weird cartoon.
He does look
cartoon.
Like Kermit, yeah.
So obviously this photo could very much be some kind of a hoax, but it was captured from a video image, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of other sightings of different creatures in the same vicinity that I think and other people think could be linked to this.
Okay.
So going back a bit to January of 1959. So now this is 4 years after the initial sighting of the Loveland Frogman.
Okay.
The police receive a report by a man that's walking along the Ohio River in New Richmond, Ohio. So this is about 30 minutes from Loveland. The man who calls is super panicky sounding and he's scared out of his mind. And he says, something just came out of the water. Something just came out of the water.
Yeah.
He then proceeds to say it was indescribable and totally not of this earth.
Ooh. Get a little more specific.
Not very specific. Those were all the details the police were able to get from this man.
Maybe like tall would be nice to add.
No, indescribable creature coming out of the water that is totally not of this earth is the only description that this man gave. So after hearing this, pretty much just like the first sighting of the Frogman, the police just shrugged their shoulders and they're like, okay, like what the fuck are we supposed to do with that information?
Yeah.
An indescribable, I don't know how to find an indescribable thing.
Yeah. What are you going to, at least in the Bible, they tried to describe the angels, okay?
You could try a little harder, sir. But even so, with that, like, you'll see, I don't understand how people can't immediately connect this to the Frogman sightings. So not too long after this man reported the creature, I think it was actually in the same night or, like, maybe the next night, a truck driver called into the police after pulling into a gas station near the Little Miami River where the Frogman has been seen before. And he reported seeing something that he had never seen before. The driver also said this creature was indescribable. So now the police are hearing these two reports coming from two different people in two different areas saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, well, maybe we got something going on that we need to check out.
Maybe we've got something indescribable happening here.
It's very indescribable, but we're going to go find out so we can describe it.
We're going to describe it.
Yeah. So the police go to the area where the second sighting was, and they look around, and they don't see anything weird. So they're like, okay, I guess like maybe it's just some pranksters messing with us. I don't know. This is strange. But after these two reports came in, the Cincinnati Post and Times posted an article titled, "What is it? Monster Churns Up the Ohio."
Ooh, love that.
Yeah.
That's sensationalized journalism right there, and I'm all for it.
And of course, immediately after this is published, a few more sightings start to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So as the sightings are being reported and being called into the police are going out to these new places to like investigate and see if they can find anything. And one night they get a tip that this creature was seen on Kellogg Avenue. So they immediately go out there to investigate Kellogg Avenue. And while they're there, the street lamps along this road all start to go out.
Ooh, that's never a good sign.
Like, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
So to kind of like steer people away from this being some sort of paranormal situation, the Cincinnati Gas and Electric Company put out a statement saying that these power outages in the street lamps were caused by high winds that night.
Okay.
But the police actually were the ones that were like, there were no high winds.
Yeah.
And they allegedly found no broken poles anywhere and also discovered that the lights were on two different circuits on the street, which would make it even harder for all of the lights on the street to go out.
Yes, two circuits would have to
exactly.
fail, not just one.
Exactly.
Sounds like a cover-up to me.
So that's a little spicy.
Suspicious.
So this particular sighting was made by a man while he was crossing the Licking River. He said as he crossed over the bridge, he saw a hulking beast leap out of the water onto the road. It was large, not a dog or a cat. It leaped in front of his car, and it was on two legs. It was taller than the auto. He said, when I looked back in my mirror, it was moving along the bridge rail. It was three or four times the size of a man and much bulkier. I have an eye and mind for dimensions, so I know it was huge.
Oh, love that. What an insane thing to say. There's one thing I'm known for around town is I can look at an object far away from me and immediately know the approximate dimensions. Okay, sir.
I immediately do not believe you if you say I have an eye and mind for dimensions.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it's insanely hard to figure out how big something is when you're literally driving and moving away from it.
Dude, that's like when I found out that those little dashes on the highway are like 6 feet long.
Are they really?
Yeah, they just look like little shorty guys.
Like 1 foot.
No, they're like 6 feet long. Wow. Sometimes tall, sometimes more. But you're going so fast, they look little.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've never walked on a freeway, so yeah. I wouldn't know.
That's how I found out.
And that's how you knew. Objects in mirror are closer than they
yeah.
appear.
Boom. We solved it again. Another one solved.
So it wasn't until a woman in Kentucky claimed to have seen a creature that she said was like an octopus in a creek near the Ohio River that people started to finally hear, like, specific descriptions of what this indescribable creature looked like.
Okay.
Not long after that report, another woman calls in saying that she saw a creature hunched over by the Ohio River. She said it was a strange grayish creature with a lopsided chest, ugly tentacles, and rolls of fat running horizontally over a bald head.
Sounds like some people I know.
Sounds like a fucking frogman to me.
Oh, yeah.
Personally. But even with that specific description, which I think sounds exactly like the Loveland Frogman, this creature ended up receiving a different name, the Ohio River Octoman.
Mm. Maybe they all came together.
I mean, maybe they just all came out of the same portal. Maybe the Ohio River's a portal.
Yeah. I think we've posited that before.
That's definitely a top theory.
It definitely sounds like something I've said before.
Yes, absolutely.
Fully confident. You know, Ohio River, portal.
And
you'd be like, you're right.
And I took it and rolled with it, and yeah. I said, I'm sourcing that. Cassidy Liston said the Ohio River is a portal, so therefore we get all these creatures. This is what happens when we're not drinking.
We're more insane.
Yeah, we are.
It's crazy.
So after the woman's detailed account of the Octoman, news reports are, you know, being published like crazy. The whole area starts freaking out. They're like, okay, so now we're being attacked by these like crazy octopus aliens? Great. A little 11-year-old boy even called into the police to ask them if there were really 12 octopus human creatures coming out of the river that were going to attack them, because that's what his teacher told him.
Mood, me as a teacher. Immediately fired.
You're like, little Johnny, you better be fucking good, or these octopus aliens are going to come get you.
They're going to come get you. Yeah, for sure.
Do your homework. So there is another Ohio River cryptid. This one is known as the Green Clawed Beast, that I think could also just be the same guy,
yeah.
Personally, because there's only literally one account of this guy. So in the summer of 1955... So literally the same year that the Loveland Frogman was sighted, a woman in Evansville, Indiana, Naomi Johnson, took her children and a friend to the Ohio River to do some swimming. So Naomi and her friend get into the water, and the kids are kind of like on shore, just like playing in the sand and watching them. And Naomi's swimming, and her friend is sitting in like a round tube, like floating on the water. When all of a sudden, something brushes against Naomi's leg.
Oh, no. The nightmare.
Quite literally my nightmare.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, she felt a giant clawed hand grab her leg and pull her under the water. So the friend and the kids see this happening, and they all start screaming while they watch Naomi thrash about in the water, trying to come up for air.
What do you do? Do you swim to try and save them?
Yes.
You think that you would? Or do you think you'd just be like frozen in fear?
If I'm sitting in the tube on top, I'm probably trying to grab your hand. I don't think I would just, like, swim away.
Are you a freezer or are you a doer?
Oh.
Like when something shocking happens, are you a freezer or are you a doer?
I think nothing has ever really happened that I can think of except for like watching people trip and fall, like old people, and I immediately run to their rescue.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. If this was you and me, I wouldn't even have gotten into the water with you. I'd be on the shore with the kids.
That's true. But let's say that all of a sudden I'm thrashing around. You wouldn't run in. You wouldn't, would you?
I don't know.
It's okay. You can say it. I wouldn't expect you to.
I don't know. Maybe I would send one of your kids in.
Oh, thanks.
It's like, go get her.
Go get Auntie Cass.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I would know unless I was in that situation. I really hope I never.
Yeah, no, it's hard. And it doesn't sound like you've ever been in a situation like that.
No, and I really hope I'm not.
Yeah.
Because you might die. I don't know.
Just leave my ass.
But luckily, Naomi was able to break free from this strong grip, and she tried to climb onto the tube with her friend. But as she was pulling herself up onto the tube, the thing grabbed her leg again and pulled her under the water.
Jeez, Louise, this thing's persistent.
I know. I don't know what it wanted, though. The friend this time was like kind of paddling around the water, searching and screaming for Naomi to try to grab her. But then a few seconds later, Naomi pops back up again, gasping for air. And this time she was able to make it onto the tube, and the two of them paddled to shore as fast as they could.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrifying.
When Naomi got to the hospital, they discovered that her leg was completely covered in scratches. And even more freaky, she had a large greenish-blue stained handprint that was left on her skin for the next few weeks.
That's crazy. Do they have a picture of that?
No, I wish.
Fucking 50s. Come on, man.
And that's the only account of this green-clawed beast that has ever been reported.
It's making me think of... Know what this is making me think of? That episode of Buffy where the swim team...
Oh, yeah.
Is like secretly those weird amphibians.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's a good one. So this is the only one of these cryptids that actually like attacked anyone. I don't know what they were trying to get out of it. But it is really strange to me that all of these sightings of the creature are in the same vicinity. Mm-hmm. It's all around the same time. And this guy was like a greenish bluish color. Frogs are green. Mm-hmm. The Octoman is like a grayish, could be a little bluish. Mm-hmm. So we got all the same color scheme happening.
They could have come all from the same other planet.
That's
or
true.
The same portal.
I think they're all the same person.
They're from, you think it's all just one guy?
I think it's one guy that people are just like putting different descriptions on.
You don't think
on.
It's like a group of guys that all hang out together maybe?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's a group of guys, but I think they're the same.
The same guy.
The same creature.
Okay,
like
same
entity, the same thing. Yeah.
They're all Charizards or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're all like...
to bring it back around to Pokemon. They're all water type.
What's the other water guy? Squirtle.
Squirtle.
They're all little Squirtles. Cute.
Cute.
Except I don't think he would be evil and try to drown somebody.
Well, maybe he was trying to warn her.
That's
maybe
true.
She forgot to put on her sunscreen and he was like, you're exposing yourself to way too many UV rays.
Oh my God. You're so right.
Yeah. Skin cancer's a killer.
What a nice little guy.
Yeah. See?
I think
it's all about perspective.
I think he's a nice little guy. But overall, since the 1950s, the people that live in the area surrounding the Ohio River have definitely seen something that is lurking around the waters. And I just happen to think they're all the same creature.
I believe it. And I love your theory. And I'm all for it. I say portal. Portal to a water world of some sort.
It's like Jar Jar Binks.
It's basically exactly Jar Jar Binks, now that you say that. That was a good one. I like that.
Thank you.
Should we round this out with a listener story?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to be reading a story from Allison P.
Hi, Allison.
And Allison says, ooh, this is going to be a good one.
Ooh.
Sorry, I see Yellowstone National Park immediately, and I'm like, oh. I know that's going to be a good one. All right. Greetings, DTK family. This story takes place a few years ago in beautiful Billings, Montana. Billings is the biggest city in Montana and is located in the southeastern part of the state. It's located on the Yellowstone River and has rim rocks, aka sandstone cliffs, that mark the north of town, and the gorgeous Beartooth Mountains, which can be seen 60 miles in the distance to the south. It's big sky country where you can see forever and ever all the way away from you. For the past 30 years, it has also happened to be the home of my sweet grandma and grandpa.
Aww.
We try to visit them yearly. We live in Nashville, but plane prices aren't getting any cheaper. Yeah, that's so true.
For real.
My grandparents live in a nice little neighborhood on the edge of the city. It isn't all fields and mountains. There are cities there too. Now on to the story. A routine traffic stop took place in a nearby town of Laurel on Friday, April 23rd, 2021. What could have been handled differently quickly turned into a police pursuit when the man jumped back in his van and fled the area. It was a man driving with a woman in the passenger seat. From Laurel, they drove into Billings, and during the chase, the van took a turn too fast on a roundabout and crashed into a sign that was on the side of the road. The couple immediately jumped out of the van and started running. Has this ever worked for anybody?
No, you're gonna get caught.
What are you doing? You're just adding years to your charge. On foot, until they found themselves in a nice little neighborhood on the edge of the city. The woman was reportedly taken into police custody at this point, but the man was still unaccounted for. According to reports of the incident, the man was going house to house checking for unlocked doors.
Oh no.
He quickly grew agitated at the lack thereof and knocked down one of the yard gates and made his way into one of the homes via a side door, kind of like a garage door. There were varying reports.
If this is in Allison's grandparents' home, I'm going to scream.
The Billings Police Department, Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office, and the Montana Highway Patrol all arrived on the scene and saw that the suspect had entered the home. They quickly formed a plan to enter the home to detain the individual. However, upon entering, a gunshot went off. The police retreated and surrounded the home, unsure of who was inside or if there was any hostages. Back at the scene of the crash, they discovered the owner of the vehicle was murdered and was in the back of the van.
Oh my God.
It was probably a wrong place, wrong time type of situation. Whoever is in that home is extremely dangerous. At this point, my grandparents are having a nice, quiet afternoon at home. They suddenly hear a loud, very loud, insistent knock on their front door.
No.
And my grandpa opens it to see two men in SWAT uniforms yelling at them to quickly leave the area in their vehicles immediately. They do as they're told, only to find out later that there's a standoff happening a mere two homes down from them.
Oh, my God.
The police have a standoff with the man in this home well into the night. The police try to negotiate with him, but all that gets resolved is that he gets himself a bag of Wendy's hamburgers. They use technology, like they'll, you know, ask for things. They use technology to tell that there was an attic above the garage, and they drilled holes into the wall and into the floor to flood him with tear gas. When this didn't work, the SWAT team decided they would need to enter and end the standoff. Upon entering the home, the suspect shoots himself, shots are fired by the SWAT team, and in the fight, the attic falls into the garage, so now blood is on all parts of the attic and garage. The homeowner and my grandparents' friend, Deb, was thankfully attending her nephew's wedding in Arizona that weekend. When her alarm company contacted her to say that her garage door had been forcefully kicked in, she did what one would do and proceeded to call the police. The police told her not to come home and asked her if anyone or any pets were in the home, what her front door code was, and what her exact floor plan was like, without any explanation. Deb is a widowed, retired school teacher who lives alone. Thank God she was not at home that day. She didn't hear back from any police and instead had to piece together what had happened thanks to her neighbors, aka my grandparents.
What the hell?
To quote Deb, she said, "Thank God he got into mine," she said, referring to her home, "because mine was really the only one that was empty."
Oh my God. That makes me want to cry.
Deb had to live out of a hotel for 6 months until she eventually sold the house. And yes, it did sell. We visited Montana that June and got to see the kicked-in garage door, the bullet holes on the front paneling of the top of the garage, but thankfully everybody else is safe. The man didn't enter a home that had people inside, thankfully. My grandparents and other neighbors are all safe. Love you all, and please lock your front doors.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Allison. That's a crazy one.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, oh, sweet Deb.
We had something like that happen in my neighborhood when I was a little, not a little kid, but I was young, where somebody was jumping back, you know, all in the backyards looking for somebody who had an open door. And I remember the police on a bullhorn being like, "Everybody lock your back doors," like he's in the backyards. And there was a police helicopter with a spotlight going through everyone's backyards.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And they found him like a couple houses down from
us. Did you grow up in a house that never locked their doors?
We started out that way because I think that's kind of like an Illinois thing, like small town. And then one morning we were in our house and a guy walked in to my front lobby while my mom was in the kitchen making breakfast for everyone. Luckily, he was just somebody who was visiting a neighbor of ours, and he got confused because all the houses looked the same.
Yeah.
But after that, my mom was always really crazy about locking the doors.
My parents never locked their doors.
Yeah.
Or the back door.
The back door never, I don't feel like we ever locked because the dogs were always going in and out. And then our garage door, we had like a code on the garage door. Yeah. So we would leave that door unlocked a lot so that if you didn't have a key, like not all of us kids could be trusted with keys, you could use the code.
Well, that's what I did when I would sneak in and out after the bars.
Yeah.
But that's the front door, though. I know. But the front door was always unlocked.
Yeah. Yeah. Our back door usually always was.
Could like, just never. Like, I'm so paranoid now.
I always lock my door for the most part, but sometimes I leave it open just because I live in a super secure building.
Yeah.
Like a very secure building. You have to get through three layers of using a key to even get to the opportunity to get to my door.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a crazy story. Thank you for sharing that, Allison. And thanks for sending that in. Hopefully you guys get to go to Montana soon and see your grandparents. I know flight prices are so insane.
They really are.
Ugh. And everything's so scary. Like, did you see a freaking engine fell off of another plane?
Don't do this to me.
Like yesterday.
What am I supposed to do? I don't live anywhere near my parents.
I don't know.
Like, what am I supposed to do?
But yeah, they were flying from Denver to Houston or whatever. They took off and the engine cover flew off the plane. So they had to turn back around, go back into Denver. And all the videos, like while they were landing, the engine is literally falling apart as they're landing the plane.
Oh,
and guess what? It's a freaking Boeing.
I'm going to die.
Stay out of the sky, people.
And lock your doors.
And lock your friggin' doors. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sending that in, Allison. If any of you have a little story you'd like to send in, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. If you want to find our Patreon, you can find that at dtkpod.com/support. We also have all of our social medias on there. We have all of our merch, everything like that. So go check out dtkpod.com. Yay. Sorry, I can't speak today.
We never can. We say this all the time.
I know. It's a really bad choice of career for us, considering how often we can't speak. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't yet, make sure you go leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. We really appreciate that.
5 stars only.
Woo! And most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid. Sydney. 'Cause yeah, it's like I don't like feeling in trouble. I also don't like being told what to do. Like the second someone asks me to do something, I'm like, oh, now I can't. I won't do it. Like my brain literally won't let me do it. Yeah. So
I get that.
My whole life is fucked up because I'm on my period. I feel like I know. You know it happens to you too.
I didn't say I know.
I wish they would just rip these bitches out of me. I don't need them. I don't want them. I don't want them to procreate. Maybe just take them away. Just,
what if like God could just rapture them out of us?
Just rapture my uterus?
Yeah.
He can have it. He's the one that's apparently all concerned about what I do with my uterus. Okay, you have it, buddy. I don't want it.
No, why does he not even have one? That's not fair.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. God is a woman.
No, if God was a woman, the world would be a nicer place.
That's true.